Hey, hey, what's up, fam? This is Sharman Lee, and you are listening to The Actors Lounge.
Hey, guys, and welcome back to another episode of The Actors Lounge. I'm your host, Mel V, and today we have with us a very special guest. Please welcome to the show, actor, coach, director, and producer, Sharman Lee. Hi, Sharman. How's it going?
Everything is fabulous, Mel V. How's it going for you, lovely?
It's going pretty good. I'm really happy and excited to have you on the show, so thanks for being here.
Well, you need to know that that is mutual, literally. I've been waiting to meet you and chat with you for almost a year now, huh?
I know, right? Yeah, it's been some time. So I'm glad we're sharing this moment.
Me too.
So, Sharman, you have been in the business for a long time, over 30 years. Can you talk about how acting, like, where did this journey start for you?
Honestly, I was about 5 years old, and I watched, I was watching Shirley Temple, and whatever movie this was, for the millennials, y'all might want to look her up, Shirley Temple, little white actress, mm-hmm. little child actress that was amazing back in the day, mostly black and white, mm-hmm. but she cried. There was a scene she was in, and she cried, and I looked to my mom, who was happy sitting at the table playing cards with the family, and I said, I can do that. At the time, I don't think none of us really knew what I meant, but I just felt a connection to, and probably because I was looking at somebody my age, my size, right? Another mm-hmm. kid mm-hmm. on the screen, but not just acting, but she was emoting, like she was feeling something and connecting, and all I knew was, okay, I want to do that. I can do that. So growing up in Colorado, not a lot of performing arts school options at that time. So my mother was, I love her, and I give her so much credit for listening to me, for listening to the artist in me. And so she allowed me to do things like take ballet and tap and jazz and play the flute and, you know, different things that I was curious about, but all to nurture the artist in me. And then it probably wasn't until I was actually in high school, my freshman year in high school, that I really got to take advantage of acting, and I have never looked back.
Wow, that's amazing. And I do know who Shirley Temple is, by the way.
Not foreign to me. I didn't mean you, Mel. I know. I meant the other less informed millennials.
But yeah, I think that's so important. Like you said, how your mom, she identified that in you as a child and nurtured that, because I think there are so many people that are young and, you know, have a dream to go into the arts as a child, and their parents don't necessarily like take that and nurture it. So I think that's such a gift that your mother did that.
Extremely. Yes. And I give her thanks for that constantly. I'm glad she's still with us so I can thank her on a regular basis. Yeah. But I really, really do.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So being an actress and being in a business where there's no real blueprint or guideline or, you know, ladder to climb, thinking back on your journey, what would you say have been like some of the contributing factors to your success and longevity in this business?
Well, I would say setting some standards for myself in the beginning has helped at least put me in a place where I can look at myself in the mirror and like what I see, right? Mm-hmm. So I didn't do a lot of the Hollywood parties. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I also said that I didn't want to do any role that my mother or my daughter couldn't be proud of when they see, right? So, you know, careful about the nudity and things that just didn't uplift me as a woman or us as a race, to be honest.
Yeah.
So I just kind of, and I'm not really sure I do know where that came from. We're going to say, my God, that's where it came from, this divine intervention, right? Mm-hmm. But then the other part of it is understanding that it's a craft. And because I started learning it as a craft from high school, right, the art of it as well as the lessons that it takes to get to the believability of the characters, right? Mm-hmm. So studying, understanding the craft, and continuing to grow, to me, it's like being an athlete. Mm-hmm. You know, if I am a basketball player and I stop working on my jump shot and you say, hey, Shar, come on, let's go out back and do a pickup game, you're going to probably whoop my butt because I'm out of practice, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So I think that that's important. A lot of times actors will take a class and feel like they got it, like I'm good, I'm ready, as opposed to understanding that those muscles have to continue to be nurtured and pushed, actually. You know, when you're working out and they say, oh, you want to find those new muscles, or they say, wake your muscles up, or shock them. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. Shock your muscles, right? Mm-hmm. when we come home and we be crying because we're so sore. But that's when your body's getting the best results. Right?
Yeah.
Acting is the same way.
Yeah.
The more we shock our muscles, the more we get out of our comfort zone, the more we allow ourselves to be pushed by different coaches and directors, et cetera, the more we grow. Mm. And then you don't get stagnant, you know? The other thing I think is to understand all of the forms. I am a theater baby. I started in theater. That there's nothing like live stage and understanding that you got to tell the story from beginning to end. And if you mess up in the middle, oh, well, the show must go on.
Yeah.
That's a whole other muscle that, you know, some of us have, many don't, right? But I think that that's good to get back to. But then again, the reason that lessons are important or studying is important is because the muscle that you use on stage live is a little bit different than the one that you need in front of a camera. It doesn't have to be so big and so loud, right? So now we're talking about acting from the inside out as opposed to it being, right? And these are things that you don't, no, like you said, there's no real blueprint, right? Mm-hmm. But you don't really know until or unless you take the time to experience this or experiment mm-hmm. with these things. But they all are going to making you who you are as an actor. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to be willing to fall.
Yeah, definitely. I love how you talked about, you know, certain roles that you haven't taken or will not take. You know, you want your mom or your daughter to be proud of you. Have you been approached with certain roles or, you know, like how did you go about turning things out and staying true to who you are? I really respect that. I think that's really dope.
Well, yeah, I definitely have been, invited to do roles where there was what I would say unnecessary nudity. I think that there's always a way to be, show sensuality and passion and desire and maybe even sexual content, so to speak, without being raunchy, mm-hmm. right? Without necessarily taking off everything. So that, there was a time quite a while ago where I was asked to do a role. And basically, it wasn't because the role was a lesbian character. Women were like, I have no problem with that. Mm-hmm. But I felt like it was more of an exhibition, right? It was more about a director having an opportunity to live out some of his fantasies.
Mm.
And I wasn't interested in being a part of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I think it's so interesting. Just as an actor, the journey that you go through, the ups mm-hmm. and the downs. And, you know, I feel like it's important to have a strong self-worth or sense of self, especially in an industry yeah. like, you know, the entertainment industry. So, and I can imagine for, you know, being in this over 30 years, and an industry that puts so much value on the outer parts of us, how have you managed to maintain who you are and not let yourself get wrapped up in allowing the industry to define you?
Well, I will say my spirituality, mm-hmm. you know, being grounded in something spiritual, whatever that is for you. You know, I grew up, my mother is Catholic, and then at 13, I went to a Baptist church with a girlfriend of mine. But, mommy, can I go over there? They're singing, it's something else. So there was a period in my life where I was literally going to two churches. I would go to Catholic church on Saturday, Baptist church on Sunday, right? And then I moved away from home early, about 19, to go work for the Home Shopping Network. And that was an interesting time because then it allowed me to just start studying and learning some things on my own. And I have a sister who's a Jehovah's Witness, and I studied with her for a while. And then I have a friend who's a Muslim, and I studied with them for a while. And I'm sort of a gumbo hodgepodge of spirituality and taking all of the things that work for me,
yeah.
right? And then I'm definitely an avid reader and things that have to do with being present,
mm-hmm.
The law of attraction and understanding the power of your mind
mm.
and that, you know, we really do attract what we think. Yeah. So getting control of impulse is a good thing. But yeah, it's a daily practice. And then meditating, absolutely. And that's something that I'm, to be honest, only in the last 5 years have I really, really began to understand the power of that and take more advantage of it. And I journal.
Mm-hmm.
I journal pretty much daily, a gratitude journal. And if it's just at least 10 things that I'm grateful for, just starting at the top of my head or starting from my heart and or starting from my surroundings, like obviously with what's going on right now in our society, there's a lot to be grateful for.
Yeah, for sure. Health, that's one, the biggest thing.
Yeah, it is. So this business can beat you up. It can be brutal. Like it doesn't have a heart.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you got to know how to plug that in and get ready for the next round.
Yeah, it's so important.
It is.
Now, we talk about, you know, the journey so far. Like, what have been some of the challenges that you've faced on your journey as an actress, and how have you overcome? I can imagine, you know, being in the business so long, there's probably been a lot of like ups and downs, ebbs and flows. So what have been some of the things that you've had to work through?
Well, definitely there have been casting couch opportunities.
Wow.
Right? For those of us who don't know what that is, that would be when people in power want to use their power or some extracurricular activity. Mm-hmm. And then maybe you'll get the role.
Wow.
So, yeah, I've been approached in that way a couple of times. And, again, the standards that I was raised with and developed on my own were like, no, thank you.
No, thank you.
Was it disappointing? Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, and it's been people of color and non-people of color, you know. Unfortunately, everybody does not use their power for good. So, there's that. But, you know, there's a book called The Actor's Way. And they speak about your child actor. And what I love about it, because, you know, along the journey, now we talk about casting, but we talk about auditions and the fact that we go through so many no's before we get a yes. And for a lot of us, and myself too, there was a season, we beat ourselves up on the no's. Right? When we get the no, it's, okay, well, what did you do wrong? Why couldn't you have done this better? And, you know, sometimes it can be pretty bad. If you go into an audition and you feel like you failed and you come out, you're so stupid. Why am I doing this? You know, like we beat ourselves up. We're our worst enemy when it comes to that. And one of the lessons in this book, and I actually speak about this in my my virtual masterclass, in the mindset portion, is about nurturing the artist's child in you. And you are a parent, am I right now?
Yes, you're right. I have a one-year-old.
Okay, a one-year-old, how wonderful. So, okay, so you got a one-year-old, and is a boy, right?
Yes, Jaden.
Okay, Jaden. Is Jaden walking yet?
Oh, he's running everywhere.
He's running? I love it. Okay, okay. Let's just talk about before he started running, right?
Yeah.
And he was crawling. And he would reach up and grab onto something and try to walk, right? And then he would fall, right? And what did y'all say? Get up, clumsy, and walk and try it again.
Never.
You know, stupid little boy. What's wrong with you,
right?
Uncoordinated little fool? Right? You don't do that to your baby.
Right.
You laugh, but that's what we do to ourselves.
Wow. That's so true.
So I encourage people to look at your artist like you would a baby. And nurture it like you would your baby, preferably, but any baby. Hopefully none of us would kick a baby while they're down.
Right.
You know?
That's so true. That's such a great analogy. Like, it's so simple, but it's so true. It's like, why do we talk to ourselves that way? You wouldn't even talk to, most of the time, some people. You wouldn't talk to other people that way, you know, in a disrespectful manner. Like, why do we treat ourselves with the least amount of respect and talking to ourselves in that way?
So I do my best to do an audition and let it go and give it to God, right? And say, you know, good job. You did the best you could. If I get it, hey, let's celebrate. If I don't, then you know what? That one wasn't yours. And it's okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing. Like you said, the mindset and having that mentality to walk into the audition room or just, you know, just on the journey to just allow what's going to happen and be okay with it. And
yeah,
like just kind of letting go, like you surrender to the process. And I think that's the biggest thing instead of holding on so tight, you know, because when you hold on to something so tight, you choke it. And it's like you're not allowing it to flow and to breathe and just to naturally happen.
Yes. And yes.
Yeah, and like you said, I would never talk to my baby like that. So why is it okay for me to talk to myself like that? That's a good point.
And but listen, it's you know, it's a daily practice because I still will, you know, have my moments where I'll go, oh, man, maybe I should have. And then I will immediately go, okay, but you know what? Next time.
Yeah.
Oh, you did well, though. This is good. You know, you just got to let it go.
Right.
You got to.
Right.
It'll age you if you don't.
Yeah. Now, you talked about your masterclass. You have a masterclass called Book It with Charmin Lee Audition Technique Masterclass. First of all, I'll say to you, thank you for creating that. I think that's a great resource and will be a great gift for actors. And it's online, so that's a plus. So anybody can take it.
Yes, it's on udemy.com. That's udemy.com. Yes, and it's easy to find. You just put in my name. You can put in auditions or whatever, acting.
Okay.
I'm going to probably be popping right up.
Perfect, perfect. So you're an acting coach, and you've been teaching for how long have you been teaching?
Almost as long as I've been acting, to be honest. So
that's awesome.
I mentioned that I started in high school. And my godmother was our acting coach in this forensic speech competition. And she took ill my senior year. Mm-hmm. And I literally had to take over coaching the team. And I had been doing it, I mean, working with her, opposite her, for 3 years prior. So it was sort of a natural way. You know, I was already kind of assisting. But it was interesting to actually have carry the bulk of it. Mm-hmm. But I had so much confidence walking out because it's one thing to know it. It's another thing to teach it,
mm-hmm.
right? And to articulate, like everybody that does it can't necessarily teach it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I didn't know that that was, I didn't know that really because, I, like I said, I just fell into it until after. And then being able to see people that I work with, book jobs, and, you know, keep going. I was like, oh, I think I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm all right at helping people. But I literally started as a kid coaching.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So now there are a lot of acting classes and coaches out there. What would you say makes yours different in terms of what you offer and how you go about coaching?
Well, besides the fact that you're going to have so much fun with me, the other thing would be, you know, I teach from a very current place. And by that, I mean, yes, I have the books, the Ivana Chubbucks and the Stella Adlers, and I recommend you read and, like I said, take in as much as you can. However, the business is constantly evolving,
mm-hmm.
and there was a time when we had to go in to audition, right? There were no video submissions. Now, there are majority video submissions, and there are a lot of us who had trouble adjusting to that, right? Because we want to go in, and we want to work our charm, and you know, and then there's that, okay, you don't have the casting director in the room to say, okay, let's make an adjustment, right? That was good, but this time, let's do it this way. But you got to give it your best shot on the video. Maybe you can do two takes, but this depends. But you got to understand now how to act inside the box is what I call it, right? And again, this is covered even more so in my masterclass. But now when you're talking about a screen and you're sending in an audition, you're basically only seeing from about the chest up, as opposed to going in the room and they get to see your whole person and all of your, you know, idiosyncrasies and sidekicks, et cetera. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to learn how to be just as powerful inside the box. That's a new thing, right? A newer thing. So we have to move with the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Stella's got it right in terms of the acting and all of the technique and all that sort of stuff. But you got to understand how to translate that now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the other thing too. When you go from class and you go to set, it's really different, right? You're, when you're in class and you're learning theme study and then you go to set and now you got like camera action, hair, makeup, props, blocking, etc., a co-star, right?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else in front of you. People, so it becomes a whole different. So I teach from that space, the space of you're already on set. This is what this looks like. So all of my coaching includes a camera. The camera's always running.
Okay.
You're always on camera because to me, getting used to that, to where the camera is not a thing anymore, is most important, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that it just feels like another shelf or chair in the room,
right?
But the other thing is, I'm in the game with you,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So I am teaching you what I am doing.
Yeah.
I am giving you all of the trade secrets. So when people say, well, you work so much, how do you keep booking? That's why the class is called Book It.
Mm.
Like, okay. Rather than me trying to do it a person at a time because it's just not enough hours in the day. Let me just share exactly what I do.
Yeah.
That's really the difference between me and anybody else, and we all do it a little bit differently. So I'm just letting you know how I get down.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I love that.
The first part of it is to book the job, mm-hmm. right? You take your scene study classes, and you definitely should, but there's no scene to study if you don't know how to audition and book it first,
yep.
right? So I teach from that perspective as well, because most of what you will get from the audition technique, if you get that down, then it will usually translate into the scene once you book it mm-hmm. anyway, mm-hmm. right? So it's kind of a cross between the two. But, the difference between me and everybody else is that I teach from a place of what I actually do. And because I'm actually in it and recurrent, again, another major difference is we used to do sitcoms and have a live audience. Well, that ain't happening no more. Mm-hmm. right? Now things are shot. So because then you would know if something was funny or not, like for real,
yeah.
right? when there's no laugh track, you know. And, the writers would literally stop and rewrite something and come right back and give you a new punchline.
Wow.
Like this was, that was back in the day, right? Dang. When days of like Rock and even Girlfriends. Yeah, like it was amazing. But that's not the... So I say that to say you're going to always get an up-to-date version when you're working with me in terms of what's going on in the industry now, because I'm in these streets with you.
Yeah, you are. And I think that's the key, because there are a lot of acting classes where, you know, maybe the teacher hasn't worked in years, you know, they've just been in the mm-hmm. classroom working with actors. But to get that real world experience, like, no, I was just actually on set last week shooting, so mm-hmm. like I know exactly mm-hmm. you know how to give it to you and how to teach it to you. I think that mm-hmm. that makes a big difference, like the relevancy of being current and being in the industry and being on set and then bringing that to your students. I think that's huge.
Why, thank you.
And you were recently in Just Mercy, that came out last year, 2019. You played mm-hmm. Alice Stevenson, which was Michael B. Jordan's mom. Yes, you did. Can you talk about your experience and what it was like working on that movie?
Well, first of all, because I know what everybody really wants to know is, what was it like working with Michael? and I'm saying, you did that really PC, by the way. That was real good how you did that.
Thank you.
Yes, you are a pro. It was awesome. He's mm-hmm. so humble, really, really humble. And I joked around with my sisters prior to actually meeting him and going on set. And I was like, you know, is it creepy if I kind of have a crush on my son before I even get to work? And my sisters were like, yeah, a little bit, but you just don't tell him.
Right, okay. Keep that to yourself.
But I will, it's just something to tell us. So what I will say is, I went to do a wig fitting prior to the day we were supposed to shoot. And I'm in the makeup and hair trailer. And I had asked the people if I could meet Michael, like, so that, you know, we could at least say hello before I have to be your mama, mm-hmm. right? Develop a little chemistry, right? So they were like, yeah, actually, he hung out today. He stayed later because he knew I was coming because he wanted to meet me, too. And I was like, okay, great. Mm-hmm. So he comes over to the trailer, and now I'm almost disappointed to say there was no crush once I met him, and only because he was my son. He really came in with this spirit mm-hmm. and this youthfulness. Like, you know how kind of when you meet somebody at first, like, oh, look at him. He's so cute. Look at this baby. No, it wasn't that. It was like he was that. But it was an instant connection. He was so respectful. Mm-hmm. And he actually wanted me to know that he had the writers extend our theme from what I auditioned with was less dialogue. But a lot of times they'll do that for an audition, right? Because they don't need the whole everything. So I didn't know that the rewrite was actually initiated because he brought it up and said that he thinks that, you know, or he thought that the relationship between a mother and a son, especially, you know, a black man and their mamas, right? Mm-hmm. That was something that he didn't want to skate over and wanted us to really have a moment.
Wow.
And I was just like, wow.
Yeah.
Like, just his character, right?
Yeah.
Like, he, and how much he thought about this movie and his involvement mm-hmm. I think really also had a lot to do with what made it such a success.
Wow.
But he was just regular people. And then when we were on set and working, you know, he was just so generous. And what most people don't know is the opening scene when I'm sweeping really hard. Mm. Well, I made that choice because, you know, I just made that choice as an actor, but also as a parent, thinking about how we sometimes take out our sadness, really is what it is, but it comes off as anger on some inanimate object, right? Maybe we're washing dishes and we're scrubbing really hard. Or
right.
So I just made that choice. But what was so wonderful about him is that he chose to dance with me, right? Mm-hmm. And so when he comes on and he says, "What'd that broom do to you?" or "That broom didn't do anything to you," whatever his line is, right?
Yeah.
That was all improv. We just went with that because he was smart enough. He was connected enough as an actor to see the choice that I was making and to piggyback on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then we just continued to dance from there.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. Absolutely wonderful.
That's awesome. I'm very happy for you. That was a great movie. And it was, I mean, it was such a powerful movie. Like, there were so many different emotions there. It was
girl. Well, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like,
when I saw it, because of course I only saw my scene in terms of shooting it, right? I mean, I had the script, but there's nothing like the page versus the actual screening.
Yeah.
Oh, I was a mess.
I can imagine. And then being in it and a part of it, like that's a whole different, you know, aspect of it. So I can only imagine. It was a very powerful movie.
Yeah, everybody did a wonderful job. I expect them to get all kind of awards or nods or something.
Yeah, something.
It couldn't work.
Yeah.
right.
Yeah. So, how do you prepare for roles that you book? Like, what is your process and has it changed over the years?
I would say it has evolved over the years. And my process, first of all, one of the ways in which we can avoid beating ourselves up when we audition or even go on set, is to make sure we're prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Preparation is the key. And by that, I mean, know the words, actors. Yeah. Know the words. That's your job. As a director, one of my biggest pet peeves, besides being late, is an actor who doesn't know their dialogue.
Yeah.
Why would you show up on my set and not know your words?
Mm.
Because now you're costing me time and money. Right, I got people on. I got to pay all these people, and now we waiting on you.
Right.
Mm, see, I'm getting upset just thinking about it. So let me back on
it. I can feel it.
That's the question: preparation, and how is that repetition? People go, well, how what's the best way to learn lines? Keep saying them over and 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 over. I have some parents who will say to me, "Well, you know, I didn't have them read the lines too many times because I didn't want them to get bored with the lines or to wear it out." There's no wearing it out. There's no such thing as wearing it out. Because it's like I said before, the translation between you practicing at home or working in a class setting and then going on set, and now you got light, camera, action, blocking, props, other people that you've never seen before, right?
Mm-hmm.
Gaffers, lighting, I mean, all these different people. You, them lines, if you don't have them, you can't, can you not see how this, that would distract you?
Yeah.
And then now make you the weakest link in the chain? Yeah. You don't want to be that person.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that person.
Yeah.
Right. So, one of my practices is to, like, go for an audition. I have enrolled my whole family, my life, my friends. If you're my friend, you probably at some point in time going to get a call from me saying, "Hey, you got time to run live?" but my family, even my mother, 82-year-old self, will run lines with me. And our system is we do them 10 times. Mm-hmm. And it don't matter how many CE scenes, we're doing at least 10 times. Now, that's per person that I work with. But I'm depending on the role, then I'll probably do that with 3 or 4 different people.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that I know. And then I get to start playing. And I use this reference all the time. I heard some time ago that Anthony Hopkins read each script 100 times.
Mm. Wow.
And I was like, wow. But I get it.
Yeah.
Because now the words aren't an issue, and that is why he can play.
Wow.
Right? It's called a stage play, a screen play, a teleplay, the playing part. And so the things that make us nervous and insecure is usually a lack of preparation.
Yeah, Absolutely.
Right? Yep. So when people ask me stuff like, so were you intimidated when you got to work with Michael B. Jordan or work with Taraji or work with, you know, the folks, right?
Mm-hmm.
No. Mm-mm. I may be excited, but I'm not intimidated because I'm prepared.
Yep. That's the big difference.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but then the other thing is, like I said, as far as working these muscles and continuing to grow, I practice what I preach, and I have a coach, mm-hmm. you know, and that's been interesting because it's probably only been about a year.
Okay.
You actually know my coach, Bayan Bakari.
Okay.
She has become my acting coach.
Oh, that's cool.
And I,
shout
yes,
out to Bayan.
It is very cool, and it's shout out to Bayan, right? Mm-hmm. Because he has helped get me out of my comfort zone,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I have been working for so long, and there are certain roles and like doctor, lawyer, mommy, judge, you know, cop.
Yeah.
Those are roles that I kind of own, if mm-hmm. you will. That's my space.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm being stereotyped, right, or typecast, right,
mm-hmm.
then that's usually where I land.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's make sure we understand that typecast is not a bad word,
right.
Because the most important thing in that is cast,
mm-hmm.
right?
yeah.
That you are still being cast, you're working. But in wanting to do more and grow more and just bring different colors mm-hmm. to each character, I started working with Aon. We're production partners and creating things together. And I would listen to his point of view and, you know, how he would think about it. I'm like, I like the way he thinks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because I've tried to work with other coaches. And this is, you know, I'm just saying, to be honest, as a coach, it's kind of hard to coach me. Right?
Yeah.
Not because I know it all,
mm-hmm.
but I know quite a bit, right?
Yeah.
So you're going to have to really bring something to me that I hadn't seen before. So one of the things that he has really helped me do is to bring more of me to each character.
Okay.
Which is the part I think that kind of had me out of my comfort zone. But I'm like, wait a minute.
Really?
They're not supposed to see that. yes. Yes. Now, all of my characters have elements to me.
Yeah.
But he is talking about the parts that people don't usually see,
mm.
right? Because, you know, us as women of color, we got color.
Yeah.
right?
Lots of color.
Color.
Yeah.
yes. And places where I may have been unsure if that extra, you know, color was okay,
mm.
and by color, I don't mean black girl.
Yeah.
I just mean different emotions,
right?
Pushing the envelope a little bit. So I am, in terms of my practice,
mm.
I am all about preparation and pushing myself
mm.
and allowing other eyes on my place. So every time I do an audition, if Bayon is not the actual person coaching me and putting me on tape, then I send it to him, and he critiques it. And, girl, I be holding my breath because it's only about two times out of ten that he'll be like, okay, it's a go. But it's usually something. he'll be like, and he's so kind about it. He'll be like, well, you know, if you don't mind, I would do this scene again. And I'm like,
so kind.
Okay, and a lot of times I'm working hella late. Like, you know, I'll be taping 10, 11, 12 at night, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when it's after midnight mail,
yeah.
and your coach is like, I need you to do it again. right?
Like, really?
But that's what I needed. That's
yeah.
what I need, right? Because
yeah.
I'm not, yeah. So yeah, I just want to, you know, say that I definitely practice what I preach as far as the push. You know,
yeah.
I'm not pushing my talent to do anything more than I'm willing to do.
I think that's great that you've have a coach that is able to pull that out of you. And like you said, you are a coach. So if someone's coming to coach you, they have to be able to see things in you that like you are go places that you necessarily don't always go. They got to be able to pull something out of you. So I think that's good that you
absolutely,
you know, have Bayon to help you see those things and bring more like vulnerability to yourself and your characters. I think that's such a strength. I mean, and like to hear that from someone that's been in the game 30 years plus, I think that's amazing. You know, like, because that to me shows that it doesn't matter how long you've done something or been in something, like, there's still room for growth and improvement every day.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. As long as I'm alive, I hope to keep growing, you know?
Yes, yes. Oh, I think that's great. So how important has networking, relationships, and collaboration, how important has that been for your career and in terms of, like, your success?
Well, it has been super important, especially when we talk about the behind-the-scenes part of my life. Mm. And I'm going to throw Bayard Makari back out there because he has pulled me in. Like I said, we've got a few productions and things that we have going on, but there's a bigger, bigger picture. And we are really focused on creating content that makes you feel, defying the stereotype. Mm-hmm. And so now to be in a space where we can have a little more creative control, if you will, right, is amazing. So just earlier today, we were talking about a few different scripts and actors that might fit into some of these things. And I mentioned a couple of actors that I know, David Arnold and Carl Payne, because this is a comedy, right?
Okay.
And now, so bringing it full circle in terms of the networking piece, these are brothers that I've had the chance of knowing and growing up with in the business, right? Mm-hmm. And they're in my phone, and we've done work together. And so, so when you're at the place and you're looking to create and you want to be able to pick up the phone and say, hey, yeah, and now, of course, you can go through the agents, but that's just a whole other
thing. Right.
so that piece, because now the creation of content is at the forefront of what I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
The networking piece and even other producers and casting directors that I have relationships with that I can just call upon and we can pull something together and make magic. Because the other part is we're blessed that we get to kind of pick and choose who we work with.
Yeah.
Right? This is not like a corporate 9-to-5. It's like, no, if you don't feel good to the project, if the energy ain't right, then, you know, we can move on and do something else.
Right.
So, yeah, having a network of people that you know share your vision and have the kind of energy that can, even though we're at work, it feels like play. Sometimes I do feel like it's crazy that they paid me to do what I do because I have so much fun. It's like I can't even believe they're paying me to do this, right? But yeah, that those kind of people are the people that I've been able to add to my network, and that comes in handy, the networking. And honestly, I'm quite the introvert, and I know people are like, how can you be an introvert and you're an actor?
Okay, I would have never thought you were an introvert. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I have to get my mind right when I gotta go deal with the public or groups of people. Now, I can do it, but I gotta get a little prayed up.
You
know what
well.
I'm saying? And I do, and you never know, right?
Never would have known.
But now, I know, and there are a lot of networking opportunities that I missed because of that.
Yeah.
And if I could go back, and I'm not a regret type of person, but if I could go back and if I knew that I would be here in my journey 20 years ago, right, I would have probably taken more advantage of those networking opportunities. But it's okay because we're still in the game and the networking is still happening. And now I definitely understand the greater value of it.
Yeah.
But I do want to just put that out there for people who might feel the same way, a little introverted, a little shy, or feel like that, you know, what's the point of going to these Hollywood events and, or, you know, that I get it. Now I'm particular about the ones that I go to. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're smart and you're willing to go now and to just be kind and develop relationships, and sometimes you don't know where they're going to go. Like I didn't know that there are certain casting directors that I would need to call on now. Mm. I just thought, okay, I'm glad that I'm on their radar, so they call me in as an actor. Now I'm hitting them up and I'm like, okay, so I got this movie and I might need your help casting it. Right. That's a whole different conversation.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I would encourage people to be open to going, even if it's not your favorite thing to do.
Yeah.
What I tend to do is make sure I go with somebody that I can, when I need to retreat, right, I can kind of say, okay, like Mel, let's step outside for a second, or let's over here and get a drink, and then we have a moment, and then I can kind of regroup. You're like, okay, well, I'm good, I'm cool, you cool? All right, cool. Let's go back in
let's
there.
Go back. We need a minute.
Get back to work.
Right.
Exactly.
Wow, that's very refreshing to hear, because I am an introvert myself, and like seeing you, I would never have thought you were an introvert. So that's very encouraging to me because I am a true introvert. Like I really have to prepare my mind and everything. Even like with this podcast, you know, this is something I definitely enjoy doing. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Like I enjoy the podcast. I enjoy talking to people. I enjoy conversation and connecting and learning about people. But I'm an introvert. You know what I mean? So sometimes I have to like prep myself and get myself in it, you know? So hearing you talk about that and what I see of you and know of you, I'm like, wow, you're like the perfect introvert or introvert model. Like in my mind, I'm like, oh my God, like she's a very successful introvert. Like you do it well, it seems. So.
Yes, and we can still do our craft because I mean, we're just because we're introverted doesn't mean we're not artists, right?
Right.
And so we got to figure out how to, you know, kind of balance it too. But girl, can you say homebody? My favorite place to be is at home.
Homebody. Okay. Absolutely. That's why everyone's like, how are you doing with the, you know, shut? I'm like, I'm actually enjoying this. I love being at home. This is nice. Like, I'm okay.
Okay. It's not much different than what I would. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm with so you. High five.
Yeah. okay. So I want to ask, since you are an acting coach, you've been in the business, you have all this like experience, like what is some advice you would give to an up-and-coming actor, someone who wants to get in the business that just doesn't necessarily know like where to start, how to get into it, like especially right now in these times of social media and just like digital, everything is digital. Like what is some advice that you would give to up-and-coming actors?
Well, the fact that everything is so digital changes the advice that I would have given, say, maybe 10, 15 years ago.
Right.
Because there's so much access that you're fingertips now, you know. I did this masterclass on audition technique because I hadn't seen one, but I myself have a masterclass with Dustin Hoffman and another one with Kevin Spacey. Again, I practice what I preach, right?
Right.
So the idea that you can learn in the comfort of your home for our fellow introverts, right? There is that. But the education key, number one thing. And then getting out there. I think that it's good to do extra work or stand-in work, but I think it's important that you limit how much extra and stand-in. You do it so that, because you're talking about new people who never who know nothing, you do it so that you can at least see what a set looks like, so that you can understand the movement, the pieces, and how, why are we there for 10, 12, 15-hour days? Why is there a there's an actual term called Fratterday. That means we start work on Friday and we know we don't finish till Saturday.
Wow, I've never heard that term. What is it called? Fratterday?
Yes, man. Fratterday.
Wow,
yes.
I've never heard that before.
Yes, exactly. It's a real term. Ooh. And that just means that whatever time we go to work on Friday, we know we're not wrapping before Saturday.
Yeah.
So you need to understand, you know, understand the hours, right? Understand the protocol, understand the etiquette. That etiquette is so, so important.
Yeah.
And so sometimes just being able to be there as an extra to see as much as you can to understand, you know, the behind the scenes, the inner workings of it is super, super valuable, right? So I would suggest that. But if you have aspirations. Now, and here's the thing. We need extras. That is one of the most important things, and I say this all the time. I treat my extras just like I do my principals. Because if I'm doing a restaurant scene and ain't nobody in there, my scene ain't going to be real.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So I need them as much as I need my principals, right? So I got mad respect for background, trust, and belief. And so there are some people who actually make their living doing background work. They just love being in the environment and being on set, and, you know what I mean, which is awesome. And that may be where you land. But if you decide that, okay, no, I want to be on the principal side of things. I want a mic. I want to be mic'd up. Let me talk.
Yeah. Right? Let me have words.
Yes. Well, then I suggest you limit the amount of extra work you do.
Yeah.
Right? Because what will happen is they'll see you as only an extra.
Yeah.
So you got to, you know, again, the power of your thinking, right? We manifest things by what we think. So if you think you need to be better than that, or you would like to be more than that, then absolutely limit how many times you go do that. The same thing with stand-in work, right? Stand-in work is great, and people think, okay, that's really a leg up. In other words, so stand-in work, for those who may be wondering what that is, there's the principal actress, the leading actress, and then there's the person who is pretty much dressed in the same colors and things that she's in, probably looks similar to him or her. Mm-hmm. Because now when it's time to do the lighting, the main actress may have to go back to wardrobe or get her hair redone or makeup touched up. Mm-hmm. And so there's the stand-in, the person who's standing in her place, mm-hmm. to be lit, right? Maybe even run the dialogue a little bit, maybe even walk through the blocking so that the camera people can kind of see,
yeah.
what it's going to look like before the actual actor gets back on stage. And that's an awesome, awesome opportunity, because now you really are on set, mm-hmm. right? And you're sort of really getting the practice as if you were,
yeah.
the principal actor, which is great. But the same thing applies.
Yes.
Make it, decide how many times you're going to do that. And that's whatever that is for you.
Yeah.
3, 5, 10, maybe a year. You may decide, you know what I mean? Whatever,
yeah.
that is for you.
Yeah.
But decide how many times you're going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then go ahead and jump in the water and take the next step.
Yeah.
Right?
That's great.
So that includes everything too, from getting headshots, understanding, you know, what headshots, resumes, an acting resume is nothing like a corporate resume. You know, do that homework, learn what that
yeah.
looks like, what
yeah.
that is. There are agents, even background agents. So definitely, you know, getting some kind of representation is good. Background agent, commercial agents, theatrical agents. But they're going to definitely want to see something. Nowadays, people really want to see video, mm-hmm. if they can. And then people are like, well, but if they don't cast me, how can I do video? Well, there are lots of ways to do that. And now, because we have so many different platforms as well, I say student film, mm-hmm. right? So get in a student film. You'll look at, you know, independent film. Mm-hmm. There are different casting sites that you can go to and just start submitting yourself, so that you can get some on camera something, right? Because my agent in particular, she a picture is not going to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you said, Sharma, can you send me to your agent? My first thing would be, well, do you have a demo reel?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes it can just be a scene. It doesn't have to be 5 minutes of, you know, sometimes if it's just one solid scene,
yeah.
that lets me know that you have on camera experience,
yeah.
that will take you to the next step.
That's cool.
It is a journey. It is definitely a journey. There's lots to learn, right?
Mm-hmm.
So being understanding and kind to your artist child,
mm-hmm.
right,
yep, very
is gonna be key. Yeah, and being flexible and knowing that it's most likely not going to happen overnight. We're talking because we're still talking about the person who knows nothing, right?
Yeah,
nothing about the business,
right?
Yeah. So it may take a little while, but yeah, I'd say do your research.
Mm.
If you can get on somebody's set and do some background work,
mm-hmm.
go on the acting site and see where you can self-submit. Look at the local colleges and see what they're doing as far as student film. And you can make it happen. Like, you really can make it happen. But you gotta put in a little time.
Gotta put in the time. Yeah, that's very, mm-hmm. very good advice. I like what you said about background work and stand-in work. Like, it's good for, you know, giving you that onset experience, that crash course. You do definitely learn so much as a stand-in. Oh, my goodness. It's like you're right there.
Mm-hmm.
It is the best teacher. It's really good. But like you said,
it is the best.
It really is. Like, oh, my goodness. I learned so much as a stand-in. I was just like, this is a crash course. This is amazing.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
It's really amazing.
And listen, I love my stand-in.
Yeah.
There's a couple of young ladies that I work with regularly in Georgia. They done went out and got their little blonde wig. So. They could look like, because again, they're lighting for me, right?
Yeah,
so
mm-hmm.
my hair is white-ish. It's going to be different than if, you know, we got somebody with dark hair, then they might have to adjust it. So they're serious. But let me tell you, when it's time to step off, when we get to go sit down for a minute because we have a stand-in after mm-hmm. you've been on set for a while, listen, y'all, that is the biggest blessing ever. We high five. I'd be like, tag you it.
Right. I'm going to go take a break.
Yes, but it's a nice for me. And you know, there's some people who don't really, you know, interact with their stand-ins or background. Mm-hmm. Where, like I said, I treat everybody the same.
Yeah.
But I just value every single role mm-hmm. that it takes to make a production come
yeah.
to fruition.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
if it's somebody that's helping to make my life easier personally, oh yeah, we're definitely gonna be cool on that.
Right.
You know,
that's that gratitude yeah. and appreciation.
Absolutely.
Yes.
100%.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned, you know, you and Bayon are going to be creating content and creating, like, that's the focus right now, creating content and producing. What are some ways, or what are the type of things that you look for in talent that you're looking to book for your projects?
Well, definitely believability, right? But most importantly, somebody that represents everybody, right? We're, like I said, as far as defying the stereotype, the goal is to really acquire stories and introduce people, as well as people that we know, but introduce new talent that has done the work that you and I have been here talking about. Talent like Mel V. So there are people who are okay with working for different companies, right? And then there are people who go, you know what, I'm going to create my own company, right? Well, Mr. Bakari is the latter. And we have spent hours talking about content we create. He's an amazing writer and filmmaker and has content that's already been up and out and sold and so already established in that world, and could just keep writing and selling stuff, right? But rather than do that, he's decided to create a home for the kind of content we're speaking of, and he has developed Promise TV. And we are looking at, I believe, a soft launch sometime in the summer. It will be all original content. You will have the same access that you do to Amazon Prime, Netflix. Like, we coming for y'all.
It's
on that level. But really a place and a home for those of us who want more, who want something different, something more. And we're talking about good quality. Now listen, I love my people, but let's just be honest. Because we love being ourselves, our image so much, because, you know, we don't have as many opportunities on camera as others, right? So we'll settle sometimes, right? We'll get through content. We'll work with this because it's us, right? We're like, I still want to see it. And the sound may be a little, or there may be, you know, some scenes where it's, the light is too bright or it's a little blurry. But it's on TV, right? It's on somebody's network, some stream, right? So and that there's nothing wrong with that, but it's time to create a new standard. And that's where we are, right? Because there are those of us who are like, yo, I want to see those same people and maybe even that same story, but let's get the quality right. Let's make sure that the sound is tight. Let's make sure that the acting is connected and making me feel something. Let's make sure that the story is not going to be something so predictable that I already know what's going to happen within the first 10 minutes of the thing, right? So being on that journey with him right now is probably the most exciting thing. So let me tell you something. One of the things I've always wanted to do is create content. Because there comes a time where, actually, you know, like you said, I've been in the business for a minute. Where you kind of get tired of waiting for Hollywood to decide when I go to work. I don't want to wait anymore. You know, and now we have so many different platforms to where we don't have to. Which is advice that I would give to everyone. Who is a creative, start creating your own content as well. Because there's just so many places that are looking for content. There's a quote, content is king. And speaking of, we will be looking for original content and Promise TV, But I know that we're getting ready to start soliciting for original content as well. So those of you who are listening and you are filmmakers and movie makers, and a lot of times we'll create some really good work, but we don't know where to put it, where to take it. Distribution, right? Where does it go? Who wants it? And stuff is sitting on a shelf. Well, dust some stuff off, y'all. Start dusting it off and look at it again. And if the quality is something that you're proud of, then yeah, we definitely are going to want to hear from you.
That's awesome. That makes me think, because I did an interview earlier today with another actor, and she has this one-woman show that she did, and she put it, it's on YouTube, and it is so good. Like, the quality is amazing, and just, like, her, she played 19 characters. I mean, the girl is acting her butt off. Yes! I was so impressed. Like, I was just like, Oh my gosh, this is so good. Yeah, and she said like she's gonna be looking for, you know, more distribution deals and getting it out there. And I'm like, yeah, it was her and the director, just them two. I mean, it's really incredible. I was just like, wow, she did a great job. So she comes to mind when you're talking about content. Yes.
That's what I'm talking about. Yes. And I'm gonna go ahead and put this out here too. So for those who have content, here's where they need to send it. Content@promise.stream.
Say it one more time.
Content@promise.stream.
Perfect. Okay. I love it. I'm excited what you guys have in store, what's going to be coming out. I'm definitely going to be paying attention, locked in, and, you know, just keeping up with the journey. So
me too.
Yeah. This has been awesome. Can you tell listeners where they can keep up with you on social media or connect with you in any way? What's the best way?
Absolutely. Charmin Noel Lee, and that's across the board at all of my social media. So it's at Charmin, Charmin, so just like the tissue. And then we've got Noel, another Noel, because my birthday's on Christmas. And then the last name is Lee, so we got Lee. I just say that to help people remember, right? Charmin Noel Lee for Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all of that. And then I want to just reiterate that for those who would like to have me in the comfort of their home, mm-hmm. virtually, mm-hmm. that all they have to do is go to udemy.com, UDEMY.com, and put in audition technique or book it or Charmin Lee and sign up, and I'll be there. And then you own it. You actually own the lesson, and you can keep going back over and over. And the way I did it, Mel, is not me lecturing. So it's actual classroom format where you feel like you're taking a class with the class. Mm. It's kind of fun. And there's a little teaser. You can go on there and kind of get a feel for what's happening before you actually decide if you want to have me in your home permanently or not.
Nice. That's awesome. Well, I will say congratulations on the class and everything that you're doing.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure speaking with you. I definitely feel fulfilled talking with you. You have such great energy. You have such
likewise. It's like I'm just talking to my girlfriend.
Yeah, that's how I like these conversations to be. I like them to just be, you know, casual conversations, getting to know you and your story. So thank you so much for coming on the Actors Lounge. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome, and you're great at what you're doing. And you know, we're gonna talk about you acting some more too, right?
Yeah,
you know
we gonna do that.
But I want you.
Right. And I want you too. All right. Okay. Well, you have a good rest of your day. Okay.
Thank you. Love you too.
All right. Take care.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.